morning.
Alan, time and again, you're introduced in the media as someone who lost your wife in the Shankill bombing. So you know what it is like to be a real victim. I'm going to suggest here that you probably don't have, considering I've spoken to you before and heard you speak on many occasions, you don't have a real problem with the Conflict Resolution Centre.
No, I don't. But I have to say to you that's my view. I'm not suggesting for a moment that it's universal amongst all victims and survivors. I mean, obviously, we are a very diverse group of people that were affected by the conflict, and victims and survivors will think all sorts of things about all kinds of issues. On this issue, I do believe it's important that these stories are told, not just the story, of course, of the prison and the people that were incarcerated there, but also the wider story of the conflict. And, you know, if anything that can add to that understanding of that period of history, which in itself, coming out the other end, will actually hopefully get into a situation where these things will never be done ever again, well, then I'm always going to be broadly supportive of that. But it has to be handled very sensitively. And my sense of what's gone on, and I've sort of kept a bit of an eye on it with the development of the Maes Long case site, is that I think that it has been handled quite sensitively.
Alan, there will come a time, and we presume it is going to be built, there will come a time when you have to describe what happened in there. Plaques will go up, an interactive screen will be there, visitors will be tapping to get the information to come back out, and terminology has to be used. So how do you describe the hunger strikers? Do you describe them as heroes of Ireland, or do you describe them as terrorists?
It's going to be depending on which public you're trying to reach out to. I would have hoped that people would have just called it what it was, and that there wouldn't be any of that terminology used, and then the people that would come to actually see the exhibits or to see the place or to hear the stories will actually make their own kind of sense of meaning from it. I don't know that you really can be prescriptive like that, and I can't certainly see the actual organisers of the site actually putting those kind of titles on it. But you know what, it's like Kilmaine and Jail or some of these other sites, people will go there, the story will be told, and it's all of its facts, ugly and all as they are at times. It's up to the person that actually goes to see the exhibit or goes to see the space. They will come away with their own sense of meaning. What I would like to have thought that would have happened over time as we get into this sort of storytelling and listening to each other's stories is that perhaps it's okay to change your opinion about a certain event or in a certain period of history, that rather than get locked into centuries-old thoughts and feelings about all these kind of things. I mean, with this new society that we're trying to create now, you know, we need to be able to change our minds and to be won over and to be able to sit down and discuss and debate. But of course, all of these things have to be handled very, very sensitively. And I think that I do feel for those victims and survivors who will never probably go and visit the Maes Long case site because of what went on there. I mean, I'm in a particular place. I'm on my own journey. I don't suggest my journey is unique, but I also know that it's not shared by everybody. And I think we just have to have respect for the fact that we're all in very different places. And I know, I have absolutely no doubt that when this goes forward, it will be handled with a degree of sensitivity.
But are you sure of that? And I think people will admire your honesty, Alan, regarding your own personal journey. And no one should question you on your own personal journey. You're well entitled to undertake it as you please. But there's a guy called Jonathan, and he's saying, are Sinn Féin going to take responsibility for anyone that attempts to put flags or flowers in the cell? Once people start doing that, it'll turn into a shrine. So you go along to this, there's some sort of memorabilia there that depicts Bobby Sands or Ray McCreesh or any of the hunger strikers, and someone leaves one flower on the ground beside it. You know, what does the attendant in the museum, in the Conflict Resolution Centre, do they lift the flower and put it in the waste paper basket? Well, do people put wreaths down?
It's an excellent question. I think that those are going to be issues that are going to have to be worked out as we actually move into the process. I mean, I suppose what I would say to you is that in terms from an organisational perspective, I mean, the very fact that you have the DUP in there, and I heard Geoffrey Dawson on this morning saying that they have a veto, and I'm not usually in favour of vetoes, but I mean, I think if unionists or if people, you know, who would be fearful of what would go on there, I mean, that should be, I would have thought, some sort of comfort to them to know that there will be nothing that will happen in that site without the DUP say so. So from an organisational perspective, whilst you cannot, predict what a member of the public might do, and then it becomes an issue for the organisers and how they handle all of that. I'm not suggesting these things are easy, but with that veto in there, I think that should probably ensure that at least from an organisation perspective, that it doesn't become the so-called shrine to republicanism. These stories are important, and I think one of the issues here is that our conflict is in our very recent past. I think as time moves on and we get further away from the bad years of conflict, more things will become permissible. And so whilst I'm saying now that these things, in the short to medium term are probably not good things to happen, who knows what could happen in 100 years down the road and how society has changed and people may well be in a different place where they're able to contemplate things that perhaps today they're not able to contemplate.
But Alan, I think that's the crux of the matter. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. In 100 years' time, 50 years' time, no one will give a hoot about it. It's today that they're possibly cutting a historical stick to beat themselves with.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's the alternative that we just lose all these stories and these sites and they're gone forever? I do believe that we need to learn from the conflict. We need to learn from what went on here. We need to learn about the fact that so many people were killed and for what. I mean, it's my perspective. I know it's not shared by Republicans that the people that died for nothing. I don't believe that as a society we're really much further on than what we were in the sort of early 70s and when we had the Stunning Deal Agreement. But we are trying to make a better society for everybody, and I think it's important that these stories are told and that they're not lost forever. And I don't know what, I mean, we just can't airbrush history and just pretend it never happened. It did happen, and we have to learn from it. And my sense of it would be that, we need to learn from it in a constructive way. And I hope that there would be no triumphalism. I hope there will be no shrine to terrorism or to whatever, and that people will actually get into a proper constructive conflict interpretation or conflict resolution centre whereby we can learn from our conflict and make sure that we never repeat the mistakes of the past. And I think that has to be a good thing. I mean, my background's in youth work, and I would love to be able to bring some young people to that centre perhaps in 2 or 3 years' time when it's built and go and hear the stories. I mean, yes, of course, hear the story of the hunger strikers, but also hear the story of the people that actually died outside the prison in and around the time of the hunger strikes as well. That develops us all and helps us all to have a shared understanding of what we've done here. Whilst we absolutely probably, a lot of us will put our spin and our interpretation on it, and I don't know what you can do about that. But we just need to find a way to go forward which actually respects each other's journey and each other's space. And I think the centre up there have a very important role to play on that, but it obviously depends on how it's handled, and I think that's fed back to the organisers, to our MLAs, and there's no doubt about this. There's going to be rows, I would suggest, in the Assembly about this. I mean, that I'm sure is going to go on between the DUP and Sinn Féin, but as long at the end of the day, common sense prevails, and it's done for the greater good, which is trying to learn the lessons from our history.
Alan, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.